And thankfully, over our lifetime, we have seen doors that were closed, such as behind the Iron Curtain, have again been opened. And so we see that in history and in God's providence, doors open and doors close. The difficulty for the evangelist is how to get started. How do you get in? How do you get that open door and find your first audience that will desire to hear the message of the cross? One thing that an evangelist must be prepared for, or he himself will be a failure, and that is he must be prepared to fail.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Dolliher. I trust that the Lord is blessing your own soul, leading you in the paths of righteousness, and helping you to walk with Him day by day. I hope also you have taken interest in the clip that we have just given there of our message today. We'll be coming to that in a few moments. Firstly, our Bible reading from Matthew 9, verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straitly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. And they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. The key text here, of course, is, According to your faith be it unto you. Faith is like the breath you breathe. It is given to you by God, yet it is the production of your own lungs and your own body. You can never say that a man's breath does not belong to him. You might as well deny the reality that smoke comes out of the chimney of a coal fire. Faith is the key to the blessing. It unlocks all the promises of God and all the grace of the gospel to your soul. This is greatly demonstrated in the incident of these two blind men who cried out to the Lord to receive eyesight. They followed the Lord right into the house where he was attending. These men did not sit with a spirit of society owes us. They went after the one whom they believed could heal them. So right into the house they went, pleading, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Their very title, given to the Lord, was instructive. They knew for sure who he was. The Messiah of Israel would be denoted as the Son of David. That was common among Jewry. It was in their writings, their songs, and their chants at religious ceremonies and feasts to focus on the coming Messiah. Now the operative question was asked by the Lord to these men. Believe ye that I am able to do this? You see, faith had to be at work. The power would be the Lord's. But the key to the miracle was in that inner conviction that Jesus could do such a thing as remove blindness to give eyesight. There was no doubt in their minds, for immediately they replied, Yea, Lord. Then the Lord touched their eyes, and the miracle happened. Their eyes were opened. The Lord put it down to faith, for he said, According to your faith be it unto you. They believed, they called, they had the conviction, and therefore they turned the key to this miracle. This is the call of the gospel to you today. Without faith, you cannot please God. You must believe. You must cease from questioning, delaying, and doubting. You must step forward with full confidence that your trust will not be misplaced if your trust is in the blood and righteousness of the Lord. By the way, those two rascals didn't follow through on the Lord's wishes to be silent about their newfound eyesight. They went and spread abroad his fame. Yes, with new eyesight, they had such a story to tell that they could not contain themselves. Oh, that was proof of the miracle. I trust that such will be your faith and your conversion to the Lord Jesus, that you will not be able to hold in the good news that Jesus has saved your soul. May the Lord in grace give you that greatest of blessings, the blessing of faith. And will you please call on the Lord to be your Savior? Let's unite in prayer and ask the Lord to speak on to our hearts. Father, we thank Thee today for this miracle of Your power healing these two blind men, and how You rewarded their faith, how You did take into account that these men believed that You were able to do it. You were able to heal them, giving them new eyesight. O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt grant today faith to men who need the Lord. And I pray that that faith will be forthcoming. And as men reach out, calling on Thy name, seeking to stand upon the promises that You've given, taking You at Your word, O Lord, today grant that You would save them and bring them to full salvation. Would You praise Thee today for the gospel of Thy blood and righteousness? We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou didst on that cross suffer, shed Thy blood, and pay the price. We thank Thee for that perfect robe of righteousness You give to believers, where we are made meet for heaven. O Lord, we give Thee our praise today for all the grace of the gospel and all Thy great love toward us. I pray that Thou wilt cause that love to flow in hearts, that love to fill hearts with the grace of God. O Lord, do minister to us and bless us. So receive our thanks, and help us today, and we shall give unto Thee the glory. Amen. Thank you again for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak, and I hope that clip will stir your heart to join with us as we bring to you today the message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Today we're going to let the Bible speak on when opportunity turns to opposition. Yes, it can happen. And we're going to look at what happened to the Apostle Paul when he sought to go through the door which the Lord opened for him
Yes, there was great opposition. And often God's servants find that this is the case. You seek to do the will of God, there is some opposition to it. Well, let's open our Bibles today, and I trust that you will have your Bible ready as we read the Scriptures together and turn to the Word of the Lord today. Thank you for being a part of this program, and if we can be of any personal help to you, please take note of the webcast, the email address, and other information at the end of the program. We'll be delighted to have you join with us, and to write us, call us, and be in touch with us here. So may the Lord bless you richly, fill your heart with joy and gladness today, as we bring you the message of the gospel from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale.
Right, we're back in Acts 13 this evening in these final verses of the chapter. And we are with the Apostle Paul in the city of Antioch, in the area known as Pisidia, Asia Minor. And things have been going very well. Very well. But the title of our message tonight is When the Opportunity Turns to Opposition. Now, every evangelist seeks to find an open door to present the gospel. We hear that around the world, doors are closing. And thankfully, over our lifetime, we have seen doors that were closed, such as behind the Iron Curtain, have again been opened. And so we see that in history and in God's providence, doors open and doors close. The difficulty for the evangelist is how to get started. How do you get in? How do you get that open door and find your first audience that will desire to hear the message of the cross? One thing that an evangelist must be prepared for, or he himself will be a failure, and that is he must be prepared to fail. I think as I read through the book of Acts, and as I read about missionaries, and as I read about church planters, that's one thing that everyone has to face. The very strong possibility of failing. And if a man is so filled with that fear, he will be hamstrung and hindered in his calling. And he has to accept that when he launches out in any task for God, that there is the potential that either it will never get off the ground, or it may go for a little while and fall apart. The gospel of Christianity in the day of Paul was popular for a little while. And then there was a tremendous hostility that grew and built up against it. But the open door at first was the synagogue. And I have remarked to you a number of times that this was Paul's habit. Wherever he went, the first thing he did was he went to a synagogue. Now, this is seeming strange to us because we know that Paul was called to go to the Gentiles. So why would he make a beeline in any city center he would go to for the local synagogue? To understand the book of Acts and to understand the missionary work of the Apostle Paul, a little study of the synagogue of the first century is very important. And while this might lengthen my introduction tonight, I think it will be helpful to us just to look into this matter. This is of such enormous importance. The amazing thing is that Gentiles and Greeks were found even in great numbers inside synagogues. Now that seems strange to us. That would seem to be a total anomaly. How could that be? We would not expect that if we were to visit a local synagogue in any major city in Canada, that you would find Gentiles in a synagogue. But synagogues today have become very narrow, very exclusive. Synagogues in the first century were very missionary minded. They were busy proselytizing. And I'd like to draw your attention to the word proselytes in verse 43. In Acts 13, verse 43, now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes. So these were Greeks, Gentiles, who were in the synagogues listening to Paul. They were very interested in religious things, but they were not Jews. They were not Jews. Now, there were many things in the synagogue that was of a great help to an evangelist. The first thing, of course, is that a synagogue was found in most major city centers. Paul could go to, as he did, to Cyprus, and he could go to the first city on the east coast, or he could go to Paphos on the west coast. He would find synagogues. He went across north into the Mediterranean, to the Asia Minor, whether he went to Persia or now to Antioch, and wherever he went to these cities, there would be at least one synagogue, and sometimes more. And as we noticed last week, that when Paul went into these places, he was noted as a teacher. And there was a liberality, there was an opportunity given. Whatever you have to say, say on. Now, there's not many public institutions where you get the platform, just as a visitor. But that indeed was a common thing in these first century synagogues. And that is because a synagogue in the first century would be very much like a Protestant church. Very simple in its design, its architecture. Very simple in its religious format. There was in the church very simple prayer. There would be the reading of Scripture, which would have been the Old Testament Scriptures, of course. But it would not have been in Hebrew. It would have been in Greek. Because the Jews that were in these outside cities, outside of Israel, were Jews of the dispersion. And their parents or grandparents or great-grandparents were a part of the diaspora spread out across these nations. And as their children and offspring were born, they didn't know Hebrew. And around the 3rd century BC, they brought out a Greek text of the Scriptures so that Jewish people in their synagogues could hear the Scriptures in the language which they knew, Greek. And so this was the common language in the Roman world, in the Greek world. It was the language, certainly, that Paul knew. And it was very helpful for him as he went from city to city, from synagogue to synagogue, to have one language. Language that was understood by Jew and Gentile that were also present in these meetings. And so you can see all of these advantages to the evangelist as he went there to speak. Now, to prove to you that these Gentiles were present, We've noticed verse 43, the word proselytes. Then if you go to verse 48, you'll notice the word Gentiles. Right? You might be wondering, well, who are proselytes? That doesn't prove much to me. But you'll notice the word Gentile used in verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, now this is inside the Jewish synagogue in the city of Antioch. And so there were inside these synagogues Gentile people. They were not complete Jewish converts, but they were interested in religious things. They were interested in Judaism. They were interested in the scriptures. If you go to chapter 18 and the verse 4, you'll find in another city, in the city of Corinth, you will find a synagogue where, again, Paul took opportunity. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Now, without comprehending or understanding this phenomenon that Greeks and Gentiles actually visited many of these synagogues and were encouraged by the Jews to come in and listen and learn. These were teaching ministries, just like a Protestant church. These were places where it was missioning to try and proselytize, win them over to their faith. Now, they were not accepted as Jews because they were not circumcised. They did not all keep the ceremonial law. They did not all fall into every practice that Jews were expected to practice, but they were proselytes. In other words, they were given certain standing, but not full standing, in these synagogues. Now, you can begin to see that Paul had a ready-made audience when he went to these synagogues and had opportunity to minister and to preach the Word of God. Now, to summarize then, let me just give you the four main benefits then of the synagogue to the evangelist. These synagogues were in the major city centers. They provided a preaching opportunity because this was their common habit. If they remarked that men had come to visit wherever they were traveling from, and these Jews were merchants and all manner of business people, and they would have had the ability to teach and preach. And then the third thing is they used a Greek Bible, the common language of Greek, Gentile, and Jew. And then the fourth thing is it was a ready-made audience, a people that were interested in biblical, religious, spiritual things. And so, it is interesting to note that when Paul preached, you remember the sermon that we analyzed last week? The sermon that he preached in this synagogue in Antioch? When he was all done, you'll notice how the people responded. The proselytes, the Gentiles, they were hungry for more. And you'll notice in verse 43, or 42, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, there's nothing that gladdens a preacher's heart more than that. We are so interested in what you've heard today, would you preach it again next week? Why, that would give the preacher a happy inside for a week, wouldn't it? That would encourage his heart. This is what they want to hear. And it was the Gentiles in the audience that said that. And so all week there was a big commotion. And the news spread, and the next Sabbath we are told almost the whole city gathered to hear the sermon. But while the Gentiles were excited, the Jews, who felt they owned the synagogue, that they were the real leaders. You read here in verse 45, the Jews saw the multitudes. They were filled with envy. They didn't like this. They saw that Paul and Barnabas were becoming too popular. And too popular with that crowd that are non-committed as proselytes. And the word envy here is bad zeal. They had a zeal to protect the synagogue, to protect tradition, to protect their own standing. And so they were filled with envy or bad zeal. And they opposed, and they spake against those things, and they got mad. And they spoke with blasphemies against Paul and Barnabas. And so that's why I have entitled this message tonight, When Opportunity Turns to Opposition. And it happens. And it happens over and over and over again when you go to preach the gospel. An evangelist, a Christian worker, a Sunday school teacher, vacation Bible school leader, an evangelist in a city, a preacher looking for a new opportunity, a door is opened. Seems that God is working. And then suddenly, the door is closing. And opposition and persecution begins. So what we need to deal with tonight is, what do you do when opportunity turns to opposition? That's what we need to look at in this passage. We need to see how Paul and Barnabas handled the situation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.